Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
We're going to talk about dogs and fear of dogs for a second, because dogs have forever been called man's best friend, but to many adults and children, they feel nothing like a friend. Believe it or not, one in 10 of us have a very real fear of dogs. But society insists that we should all love dogs unconditionally. So why the fear? And what can we do about it? Like many things in life, there isn't a clear-cut answer. But to try and get to the bottom of it, I'm joined now by adolescent psychotherapist Colman Nocter. Good morning.
Morning, Jen.
Okay, so firstly, is having a fear of dogs something that we're born with? Is this something that we learn? Where does it come from?
There's some evidence to suggest that phobias in general are genetic, so you're more likely to have one if your parents have one.
Okay.
But they can also be really quite arbitrary. So, you know, in terms of, I think you can be born with an anxious temperament.
Mm.
Whether that transfers into a phobia or not, it would be dependent on your life experiences. So oftentimes there may be a nature element, but it's usually life experiences that create phobias.
Okay. Now, dogs are everywhere. They're everywhere in the parks, a friend's house, in workplaces. They're probably upstairs as we speak. And the list goes on. Avoiding them is simply not, it's just not an option, is it?
Well, it's not. And I think probably dog ownership has probably escalated over pandemic and things like that. There seemed to be a big rush on getting dogs. So even going to people's houses, visiting people's homes, that sort of stuff. But even going, getting from A to B, chances are you're going to meet a dog. I'm a dog owner myself. So when I'm walking, you just become acutely aware of how many other dogs are out there, because, you know, oftentimes there's a bit of angry barking that goes on, or you have to kind of cross the road. Mm-hmm. If you so, yeah, there it's a pervasive part of our society that dogs are not things that you could plan your life around.
And isn't it funny, Colman, because I know we became dog owners at the same time. It's funny. We kind of presume that everybody is okay with dogs and we don't think about that one in 10.
Yeah, I would be acutely aware of that because I've treated it before.
Okay.
So children who've come with kind of phobia of dogs.
Yeah.
So I would be kind of very conscious of, you know, tightening my grip on him, or maybe looking. You'll see from 15 yards whether someone's a dog person or not, you know. And what has changed is people kind of ask you, can I pet your dog? You know, so there's a kind of a courtesy in that respect. But dog owners also need to be aware that there could be people who are coming along that, and the presence of your beautiful boy is a source of fear for them. So we have to be much more conscious about that. But I think, again, my personal experience would probably lead to that.
Okay.
But I think most people just assume everyone loves my dog.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, you said you've treated children and people with this phobia. How does it impact their daily lives?
Oh, it can be persecutory for certain children. Do you know what I mean? And again, because children's activities are largely outside and do things, so they'd avoid public parks. They'll avoid, you know, and even if some people bring a dog to collect their child from school, they'll avoid coming out of school. They'll find that nervous. Going to people's houses on play dates, hugely difficult. And there's all this kind of has to happen where you kind of, can you put the dog in the back before we come? And parents, you know, it does impact on their function for sure. But there's almost, the thing with phobia is it's the anticipation that it might happen. So it's not just when you see a dog that your anxiety is there. It's everything you think about doing goes, you have to think through the threat of, would there be a dog there? Could I run into a dog? What's the possibility of that? So it's that anticipatory anxiety that's humming there all the time. So, you know, it's not just isolated to when a dog is in your presence.
When you see a dog,
yeah,
okay.
It's there all the time. So you're living with the potential of running into a dog.
Is that how you differentiate between someone who's just nervous around dogs and then someone who has cynophobia, I think it's called? Is that what it's called, the phobia for dogs?
Yeah, the phobic names bear no relation to the actual thing oftentimes.
Yeah.
But someone who's nervous at dogs just wouldn't be a keen dog person. They might just go, oh, I don't like the way he jumps on me or that sort of stuff. But they wouldn't plan their life around it, or they wouldn't. It's the level of distress that it causes at the potential of running into a dog or seeing one. And children who have phobia will have panic. Like, they will sweat, they will have palpitations, they will physiologically experience everything that we would if you were faced with fire or something. Do you know what I mean? So it's a really visceral experience that these children would have. And so much of the treatment is about learning how to tune down your body response.
Do you know? Okay.
And there's research to suggest that dogs, they can smell those secretions of fear. So that idea of dog smelling fear is based in reality, that it actually creates a response, an excited response, but it's much more animated if you're fearful. So again, that's not going to help in that situation.
No.
So by trying to tune down your body and kind of manage your own responses, then you're going to be in a better position when you actually have to face the dog, which is part of the treatment.
Yeah. Okay. Text just in. My daughter used to love dogs, but a dog jumped on her at 18 months. Now she's so afraid, even on a lead. She loses it if she sees him. She's inconsolable. She doesn't hear you and will jump feet off the ground if she sees one. Any help? Nothing is helping. She's now five.
Yeah, and again, simple. A lot of examples around things that would have happened might be like when you're even have a baby, a dog jumping up onto your high chair and taking a piece of toast or something off it, or you see an excitable dog when you're a small child and they frighten you. That really becomes entrenched in your own lens with which you see dogs. The other thing is, and I think it's important to mention, adults who are nervous around dogs or parents who are nervous around dogs oftentimes pass that fear on to children. So if you're an adult who's nervous at dogs, oh, stay back and he'll bite you and that sort of stuff. The other thing is the depiction of dogs in cartoons is oftentimes the real aggressive, drooling mouth, yeah, studded collar situation. So children are programmed to that there's a dark side to dogs as well. You know, there's the narrative.
Unless they watch Bluey.
Well, there's another side,
yeah,
of it.
That's
and
a good
and
side.
Most, you know, Scooby-Doo, mm-hmm, Garfield, all those would have, yeah, nice dogs in them. But the Tom and Jerry type stuff, mm-hmm, tends to have that. So all of those impacts create that lens of fear that there is an actual threat.
So we've control over that, and we should be aware of that with babies and toddlers and all that kind of the narrative, maybe stuff that they're watching. And if dogs are around, don't let them jump up and all that to prevent it escalating into cynophobia.
Yeah, and
if
you're trying to best prevent a child developing a phobia of dogs, have good relationships with dogs first. So the formative experiences are dogs are pleasant and they're nice and they lick you and it's pleasant and they'll have all that. Then if they meet an excitable dog, they have a benchmark to say, well, that's not all dogs because I've had. But oftentimes the beginnings have a great impact on how. So if your first experience is a negative one, that doesn't leave you open to having any more positive experiences. So it is important that children have positive experiences around animals. And, you know, not only from an empathy or care point of view, but just that they see them as non-threatening. Whereas if you're unfortunate enough that one of your first instances is, and like my own dog's a pup, but he's excitable. He wouldn't be a good dog to introduce a child to because if he sees you, he'll start spinning, yes, around and all that sort of stuff. Whereas an older dog who's a bit more mature and has that calmness, that might be the best introduction when you're, sure, introducing a child to animals in the first instance.
Okay, so that's preventative. But what do we do in the instance with this child who's five and has a real fear? Is that when professional help is maybe needed?
Yeah, I mean, I would try what I can first. You know, when I used to be able to do this, it was because my nephew is autistic and he, mm-hmm, had a canine companion dog. So it was a trained dog. And we used to use him as the therapy dog when we were trying to overcome fear. So what you would do is you work with the child first around relaxation, trying to get them into being able to reduce the arousal levels within their body. And then you'll start to, and you can gradually introduce, it's really about pacing. So you'd look at pictures of dogs, you'd look at sounds of barking, that sort of thing. And then you'd introduce them to the dog. Now, it might be that the dog is in the next room and you're in this room, and then you'd stand in the corner. Now, the thing with Ralph, and Ralph's no longer with us, but he was an amazing dog. He'd be a normal dog, but as soon as you put on that yellow high-vis jacket, he's at work. And you could pluck every hair out of his body, he would never react and respond. So you have that confidence. And we used to just bring Ralph in one side of the room, the other person, that might be the session. And then the next one, they'd go halfway. And then two of the children I'm thinking of now own dogs, you know, have overcome that.
So it's not like it can not fix, but it can be treated.
Oh, for sure. And this is fear is like, you know, I think the idea is some people think you should be afraid of small dogs or big. Fear is irrational. You know,
yeah,
we're afraid of mice and not afraid of horses. You know, when you think about it that,
yeah,
way, it's fear, it's the lens and spiders. These are all social constructions. So you can rewire that. You know, it's not that the child if the child has been bitten, there's a different level of trauma that might need to be worked through in that sense. But this is a rewiring of something that you feel is threatening that's actually not. So you're trying to change or shift that schema or that way of believing. And that's only done by experience. Like the only way you can get over a fear of something is by facing it. Like there's no way of getting around that. But the pacing and the manner in how you support the person's resilience while you expose them to the threat that should be able to rewire it in most instances, especially okay. children.
Okay. Colman, thank you so much for coming in today. Certainly an issue to consider as we approach Christmas, with many people turning their thoughts towards getting a puppy and visiting other people's homes. Let's be aware. And now I'm, after this conversation, I think I'll be more aware of having a very excited puppy in my house when small children are coming to visit as well. We all need to be aware that we, you know, they might like a puppy jumping up on them.
Yeah, but look at the value of a positive experience.
Yes.
Send them on the right road.
Yes.
You know, so it's just a bit of thought. It could go a long way for that child.
Absolutely. There we go. That was adolescent psychotherapist Colman Nocturne.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare. Looking after you always.